The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all God's people said. If John 3:16 is the most popular verse in the Bible, then Psalm 23 is the most popular chapter. If 1 Corinthians 13 is the most recognized wedding chapter, then Psalm 23 is the most recognized funeral chapter in the Bible. And if David and Goliath is the most famous story, this is the most famous song. And no, the story of David and Goliath is not David's greatest hit. This is. I want to just look at this morning and just encourage you with eight ways in which God cares for you. And this psalm takes you through the life of a sheep. Really, a year in the life of a sheep is really what it is. And we're not going to focus so much on that because we do want to get through the psalm. But I do sincerely want to encourage you with the words of Isaiah. Comfort my people, Isaiah was told by God. Comfort my people. And I know of no other psalm that can comfort someone who takes these words to heart like this one. And so let's get right into it, shall we? The first thing I want you to notice is that God wants to, he does care for you personally. The Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is your shepherd or his shepherd or their shepherd. He's my shepherd. Now, David doesn't exactly flatter himself by referring to himself as a sheep. This is the dumbest animal on the face of the planet. It doesn't matter, you name the animal, there is no animal so ridiculously stupid like a sheep. But it doesn't really matter if you're a sheep, because you have a really good owner, amen? And your owner is who gives you worth. Jesus himself said in the parallel passage in John 10 and verse 14, he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That's why believers often ask the question, do you have a personal relationship with God? And when you enter into God's salvation, you do have a personal relationship with him. You're no longer 34844. I will never forget that. It's like it's been embrazened on me for the 4 years I worked at John Deere with 16,000 others. I wasn't Pat Nemers. I was 34844. That's all I was. And when I left, I was 34844. They didn't even say goodbye, Pat. I remember Bob Seger's song, You 70s Guys? I feel like a number. And some of you probably do feel like that. But if you're one of God's sheep, you are more than a number. Because he personally cares for you. He also cares for your needs, doesn't he? I shall not want. The idea is I don't have needs. When God is your shepherd, you don't have needs that will not, cannot be taken care of. Now, sheep, again, are the most needy animal alive. They are dumb, they are dirty, they are dependent, they are destructive, and they're absolutely defenseless against their enemies. And yet David says, I have no needs when God shepherds me. And to you who have made the Lord your shepherd, you can say with the Apostle Paul, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in, because my God shall supply all my, what? Need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And many of you have learned this, and it was right here in this church where I learned it in my earliest days. I'd only been a believer about a year when I started attending this church. And I was a typical, you know, Bible college student. I came to Bible college with one, I had one of those jackets. Remember the days when the patches were cool on the elbows? And it was just really dingy. That's all I had. I did have a suit that my brother had given me. I wore it from time, I called it a pastel plaid. And I just flat out didn't, and this the dingy jacket was the corduroy dingy, the corduroy was going on it. I just needed something, and Merle Cooper gave me a suit. Never mind the fact that it was like three sizes too big for me. I wore it anyway. I looked like a clown. I even preached in that suit right here in the place of the pastor in those days. And finally, somebody said, you ought to have that altered, and I went and had it pinned back, and it was looking good in the mirror while it was pinned back, and she told me it was going to cost me $100 to alter this suit. I couldn't afford $100. I said, I can't afford it. She says, well, what you do? She was a foreign lady, and I said, well, I said, I'm going to be a pastor. She, oh, you pastor, that doesn't matter then. Pastors, they wear anything. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, they wear stripes and plaids together, things like that. They don't really care. I said, well, ma'am, I would like to look good. And she said, well, take my advice. One, buy one good suit, wear it all the time. That's good advice, but I couldn't even afford a suit. So I started wearing that pastel plaid suit. And my first pastor, the greatest encourager I'd ever known in my life, he was here, he was down preaching in chapel, and we had lunch together. I mean, nothing ever came out of this guy's mouth but a word of encouragement. We're sitting across from one another, and he looks at me and said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He says, where'd you get that clown outfit you're wearing? I couldn't believe it. I took the thing back. I told my wife, I'll never wear this again. I didn't have anything else. And it was like that evening I got a phone call from a young guy who I'd never met, but he knew I was attending this church. I'd never personally met him. He ran a used car dealership. He said, Pat, I got to dress up. He goes, I've kind of outgrown these. I wouldn't give them to you if they're not nice, but I don't even know if you need them, but I got like six suits if you want them. That was Dave Heisterkamp. I even gave a couple of them away. I tell you that because I remember being a guy who could barely rub two nickels together, how God continually took care of me like that. I was just one of his sheep. And he was teaching me that constantly. So he cares for you personally. He cares for your needs. He cares for your rest. Look what he says here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, David is writing this. We don't know when he wrote it. Most expositors think he wrote it when he was an older guy looking back. But he was a fugitive, oftentimes on the run, constantly facing perils. And one of the devil's greatest tools in his arsenal is busyness. And some of you have fallen prey to this. You busy yourself right out of time with God. You're so busy. You've got so many things to do. You have no time to lie down and listen to God. And you have all of these excuses. And they're just like the sheep we're talking about. They stink. The analogy here is very powerful. He says, he makes me lie down. Philip Keller, in his classic devotional, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. If you've never read that little devotional, you should. It'll bless your heart. He says that sheep will never lay down unless there are certain requirements. They have to be totally free of fear. Sheep are so fearful, they won't drink out of running water. They won't drink out of a creek that's running because they're fearful they're going to drown or something. They have to be free of tension. They have to be free of friction from other sheep. They have to be free from hunger. The analogies are very powerful here to us. But some of you would still say, well, yeah, I just don't have the time. Well, consider this word make. He makes me lie down in green pasture. We think of that in a very kind of, oh, he makes me lie down. That is a very strong word. It means to force or to compel. In fact, there was an American that was following a Syrian shepherd years ago, and he noticed that the Syrian shepherd was feeding a sheep that had a broken leg, and sheep are really stupid. They'll walk into holes, fall off ledges, and everything else. So he just assumed that the sheep had wandered off and stepped in a hole or something, and he asked the shepherd that. Shepherd said, no, he said, I broke it. He said, you broke his leg? He said, yeah, this sheep is constantly wandering off. It leads other sheep astray. It's always going. I have tried everything in my power to get him to stay with the herd, but I had to break his leg, and I'm personally feeding him so that he'll learn to follow me when he gets better. When I read that story, I thought to myself, I wonder how many times God has had to force me to lie down so that I can just listen to him and hear from him. I wonder how many times God has forced you to lie down. Maybe he's forcing you to lie down right now. Sometimes God has to break us in order to make us. He cares for you to the very point that he wants you to get the rest that you need, and that rest is intentionally God-designed so that you'll hear from him and be fed by him. Well, he cares for your soul. Look what he says here. He restores my soul. Now, sheep don't possess souls, and yet this is your greatest area of need is your soul. Jesus is called the bishop or the overseer or the shepherd of our souls. The word restore here literally means to turn back. That's instructive when you think about sheep. All we, Isaiah 53:6, you know it, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him. That's messianic for Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Derek Kidner, the Hebrew scholar, points out that the verb here, restore, carries more than just a spiritual connotation, but physical and even there even has a psychological sense to it. So when God restores us, he restores us internally so that we can externally serve him. In fact, interestingly, just last week, if you were here, we baptized a number of people, and one of our baptismal candidates made the off-the-cuff comment that God turned me right side up. Do you remember hearing that? Have you ever heard of a cast sheep? Probably most of you haven't. I hadn't until I read this, but you have heard the expression, even in the Psalms, why are you cast down, O my soul, right? We talk about somebody who's cast down. To cast means to be flipped over. And sheep are so stupid. When they lie down, if they get off balance and both their hooves come up off the ground and they turn up on their backs, they don't know how to get back up. They just sit there and flail until they die, until the shepherd comes and turns them over. And a good shepherd knows sheep that are given to flipping over. And they'll just keep their eyes on them, and sure enough, after they've lied, they'll go over and push them over until they get back up again. Or they can't get up on their own. This is what God is constantly doing to you and I who follow him. He's constantly restoring, turning us back when we get flipped over and we're just kicking. We need his help, do we not? Some of you try to kick on your own, and you're just kicking, and you're kicking, and you're flailing. You're not getting anywhere because you're not trusting the shepherd to turn you back. Well, he cares for your soul. He cares for your testimony. Look what he says here. He says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why? Why does he do that? Because your testimony is his testimony, is it not? He does whatever God does for us, he does for his glory, for his name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness. The Hebrew word paths means a well-worn path. But sheep are just like you and me. We have a tendency, we get into our ruts, right? We make our ruts by going down the same path all the time, even though we might need to get off. And sheep are constantly in need of being on the move, to be in different places so they can graze and in green pastures. And the shepherd wants to lead us in paths of righteousness, again, for his name's sake. Now, if a sheep isn't led to a different path, he'll just wear down and wear out the ground. If you don't allow your good shepherd to guide you, you won't wear out the ground, but you will wear out your testimony. And your testimony is important. Now, listen to this very, very carefully. God is every bit as concerned about the path that you're on as he is in the place that you end up. Let me just say that again. If you forget everything else, don't forget what I just said. God is every bit as interested in the path that you're on as he is in the place you end up. Because what? Paths lead to places. Every path has a place at the end. And if you'll notice in Scripture, especially in the Psalms and the Proverbs, God puts a greater emphasis on the path than he does on the place. Now, he usually gets to the place, but he puts a lot more emphasis on the path. Just let me give you a couple of examples here. Notice, if you will, a proverb you're familiar with, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He'll direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. He's interested in those paths. The path of the just, Proverbs 4:18 says. The path of the just. It's like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter under the perfect day. That's Proverbs 4:18. And then Psalm 25 and verse 4, where the psalmist says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your what? Your paths. He doesn't say, teach me where I'm supposed to end up, because you got to get there. Paths lead to places. And God is every bit as interested in the path that you're on as he is, and maybe more so than the place you end up, because you will end up in that place, whatever direction you're going. So if you're on a path that does not lead to a place that glorifies God, get off! Get off that path. Listen to the writer of Proverbs in chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15. Listen to what he says here. He says, don't enter the path of the wicked, and don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Because paths lead to places. I was dealing with a man several years ago who was struggling with homosexuality. And through the process of counsel, I found out that he was still driving around areas where gays were meeting. And I thought, why would you do that? Well, I didn't actually get there. And well, I mean, are you kidding me? The path leads to the place. And he got it. He figured it out. Allowed God to restore him. Another individual that was following a Middle Eastern shepherd discovered one day that when they walked down to some waters where several herds had converged and they were drinking at the same watering hole, the shepherd called his special call to the sheep. It's an amazing, I wish I could see this. You probably could YouTube, but I've never actually seen it. But I guess it's an amazing thing to behold. You know where Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice? I mean, those shepherds can walk into a pen with many sheep that are not their own, make their sound. Those sheep that are his will literally walk out and follow their shepherd. None of the other sheep will follow him. And this individual following this Middle Eastern shepherd watched this phenomenon take place down at a watering hole. And he was just amazed by the whole thing. And he said, will they ever listen to another voice? He said, no, not my sheep. Will they always follow you? He says, yes, they'll always follow me. And then he stopped. He said, unless they're sick. If they're sick, they'll follow just about anybody. Which is very interesting. God is concerned for your testimony. And if you're sick, spiritually speaking, you'll follow just about anybody. So follow the shepherd, right? He's concerned for your fears as well. This should be an encouragement to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they'll comfort me. God is concerned for your fears. And sheep are very fearful, as has already been pointed out. The valley of the shadow, those were deep ravines, you know. And every shepherd knows in these areas that if you want to get to the best grass, you got to go through the valley. Boy, if that isn't a powerful analogy for our lives, right? I mean, do you have any fears? Do you have any fears? Don't tell me what, how many, do you have fears? Raise your hand if you have fears. I mean, did you have any fears growing up? Mine was the basement. I hated the basement. I just knew there was somebody down there that was going to get me if I went down there. I can remember walking up to the top of the steps one time and bumping something that was hanging up and it up on the side of the steps. It fell all the way down the steps and it was dark down. And I just thought, I got to go down there and get, I know there was a door down there, but I figured if I went to get it, whatever was behind that door was going to get me. I would run to the top of the, I mean, I quit doing it when I was like 20, okay? But I really, really was afraid of the dark. The dark really freaked me out when I was a kid. But it's a shadow. It's referred to as a shadow here. And the shadows can't hurt you, right? I remember a widow that we had many years ago that was so fearful of death. And she was a believer, confirmed believer in Christ. And she was so afraid of dying. Why are you afraid of dying? Well, I'm afraid nobody's going to see me for 3 or 4 days before they find me. I said, well, what difference does that make if you're dead? And she just couldn't get over that. So Judy and I, our secretary, we put together this little pretty little verse of scripture. We put it in a frame from Psalm 4. I will both lie down in peace and sleep for you, Lord. You know, make me dwell in safety. And I gave it to her because she said she had a hard time memorizing. I said, you could put it, you know, right next to your bed or something and just look at it every night. It'll encourage you. She was so thankful. I went and visited her 2 months later. And I saw that picture frame underneath a stack of magazines. And she was still afraid of dying. So apparently she didn't want to listen to the words of the shepherd. God is concerned for our fears. And some of you probably are afraid of dying, and you should be. If you do not have a relationship with the shepherd, you should be afraid of dying. But if you do have a relationship with Jesus, what are you afraid of? And the truth of the matter is, your friends and your family will walk you through that time. Some of you are, you know, maybe thinking about that even now. But just to remind you, whoever is on this side of eternity can walk you all the way up to death's door, but they can't take you any farther. You got to walk through that door all by yourself. Well, no, you don't. It says, you're with me. Isn't that what it says? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are what? You're what? You're with me. And again, Keller brings out in his book that there is nothing more settling to a sheep than the perceived presence of the shepherd. And that's really where we need to be. We need to perceive that our God is with us, and he will deal with our fears, will he not? He cares for your frictions as well. Where he says here, notice, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. But here there's friction. The enemies, of course, to a shepherd would be wolves. There would be cougars. Again, Keller writes that he remembers getting up in the morning and finding sheep that would be gutted by a cougar. He was in Africa when he was a shepherd, and he said, but I saw that several times where they would just ravage my herd, but he never once saw the cougar, never saw it. And you know, we have an adversary who goes about like a roaring lion, right, seeking whom he may devour. We rarely see him, but we can see the damage that he does, don't we? God's concerned for these things. He's concerned for the frictions, the enemies we have that we in our lives, and even the pesky things that bother us. He says he anoints my head with oil. I mean, David was anointed several times. He knew about anointing. But shepherds literally anoint sheep. And when they do it so they can get rid of these parasites and bugs and flies that will drive these sheep crazy. So they can't be restful when they're bothered. And I think it's interesting that in the New Testament, there's a counterpart. There's a verse of Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, where it talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, we have You have been anointed by the Holy One. You have all knowledge. The word anointed there, that Greek word literally means to smear. Shepherds would take a special concoction of, you know, bug spray is about what it amounts to, but it's actually an oily substance that would repel all these bugs. God has given us His Holy Spirit into our lives so that when all of life's irritants come in, we can still be at ease. We can still serve the Lord. We don't have to be utterly distracted by them because of His anointing in our lives. Can you relate to that? One more thing that I want to mention here before we close it up this morning is He's concerned for your future. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Strange, and it's an even difficult expression. Goodness and mercy will follow me. A key to understanding is to remember this analogy. We're talking about the shepherd and the sheep here. And our call is to follow the shepherd, right? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they what? They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will pluck them out of my hands. My Father who's given to me, He's greater than all. Nobody plucks them out of His hands. Our call is to follow the shepherd. His response, our shepherd's response, is to cause goodness and mercy to follow us. That's pretty powerful. How often do we hear people say, well, as I look back, I can see God's goodness, right? And some of you are saying, well, I don't see the goodness and the mercy right now. And God would reply to you, don't worry about it. It'll catch up with you. Just keep following me. Just a few years after I came here, one of the most outstanding saints of God passed away back in the church I formerly pastored. He was well into his 90s. And when I heard he was dying, he wasn't gone yet. I went to visit him. And by the time I'd gotten there, he was struggling. He'd had multiple strokes. He was in a fetal position in the nursing home. His mind and his mouth were not exactly working in conjunction with one another even. But he knew who was there. It had been a couple of years. I'd been his pastor for a dozen years, and I got really close to him, and I talked to him, and he sort of brightened up a little bit when he realized it was me, and we talked a little bit, and I said to him, see, this guy whose name is George, and I've referred to him before, he would constantly say, he just had scripture coming out of his pores, but he would often say, the Lord's been good to me. And I'll never forget, as I got close to him just a couple of days before he died, and I said, you know, we had some great times together. I thank you for what you meant in my life. And his mouth was sort of tremoring. He couldn't really speak very well, but he was able to get these words out. He's been good to me. Goodness and mercy had followed him all the days of his life. And now he dwells in the house of the Lord forever, just like you will, if you'll follow the Good Shepherd. Have you decided to do that? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Shepherd, Savior, the one who will take you, who will save you, who will guide you, whose voice, if you'll listen to right now and believe in His death and resurrection, you can have everlasting life. If you've not trusted Jesus, do so today. And if you have, relax. You have a good shepherd. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to just once again acknowledge your shepherdhood in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, Lord, for making us to lie down from time to time, feeding us, restoring us when we get flipped over. And Lord, thank you so much for those times where those valleys, those crevices, those dark times that we have to go through to get to the places where we can be better fed. We thank you for that as well. Thank you, Lord, for your rod and your staff. We didn't even refer to that today. The way you become a shepherd warrior defending us, and your staff that you govern and guide us with your word and your Holy Spirit. Speaking of which, thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God in our lives that allows us to deal with all of our fears and frictions and these pesky things that come into our lives that so often distract us from serving you as we should. And we know, Lord, as we follow you, goodness and mercy will follow us. And we look forward to the day when you take us through those portals into heaven and we dwell in your house forever. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.saylorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.